movies on up. Favorite movies on or around Christmas time. I am Dave, joined by the elves to my Santa, Ryan.
I don't know what elves say. I guess they say
gobble gobble.
We demand a higher wage and fairer working conditions.
We are movies on up. The spirits will move you in odd and hysterical ways. That is our tagline for this episode. If you know what that movie that is from, hit us up at Movies On Up on Twitter, facebook.com/moviesonup, moviesonup@gmail.com, or moviesonup.com, but you can't get through the spam bots because I stopped trying. This is our Christmas episode, kinda. We didn't want to do just favorite Christmas movies. We didn't want to do favorite non-Christmas Christmas movies. So we just did favorite movies set on or around Christmas. So take with that what you will. Ryan, how did you go about your list?
Well, I have no idea. I didn't do any of the obvious Christmas movies. So none of these, I would think, would come to your mind immediately as a Christmas movie. But at least the time of year kind of factors into the movies, and they all have Christmas trees in them. So that's kind of what was the biggest help to me is, oh, I remember there's a Christmas tree scene in this movie. There's a Christmas tree scene in this movie. So that's kind of how I put my list together. I like all these movies, and I don't think really most of them I haven't talked about on this podcast yet. So I'm kind of excited about getting the chance to do that. There was a lot of leeway in this list. We had quite a bit of room on the leash to hang ourselves.
Yeah, and where I was looking at is I wanted to eliminate, like, I didn't put Christmas Story on there.
Because I don't like it.
I wanted to eliminate, like, Elf. All the obvious, like, blatant Christmas movies.
That you're going to see on television.
I tried to leave off. The obvious, if you know me, my number one and two on this list would easily be Gremlins and Die Hard. If you've ever listened to the show, you know those are my two favorite Christmas movies. So I didn't put them on the list, so these are basically my 3 through 7 favorite Christmas movies, because Gremlins and Die Hard are right there at the top. And then there were some that I wanted to make sure that Christmas, it felt Christmassy in the movie. Like, there are movies that I don't want to mention in case you threw them on your list that take place during Christmas, but I had to look it up to remember that. So,
oh, yeah, there's my number 4 is like that. But
yeah, so I didn't have to. If I didn't, there are movies I love that apparently took place at Christmas, but I don't associate them with that. So I had to, in my head, remember that there was Christmas and have it take part in the aspect of it.
Well, maybe I'll change your mind on some of these.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
But that's it. Enough about how we got our list. Let's get to the list. Ryan, your number 5 favorite movie taking place on or around the holiday of Christmas.
Perhaps I will start changing your mind right with my number 5. This is a movie that the Christmas trees are kind of what popped into my head, and it's Christmas Trees Full of Bats, directed by Tim Burton. It's 1992's Batman Returns, starring Michael Keaton, Michelle Pfeiffer, Danny DeVito, and Christopher Walken. The first Keaton Batman movie is awesome. Agreed, this one isn't as good, but the first one doesn't take place in or around Christmas. This one does. Like I said, there's a Christmas tree. There's Christmas trees all over the place. There's, I believe, a battle right at the beginning of the movie where Beetlejuice fights Ugg from Salute Your Shorts. It comes out of like a giant Christmas present. It does that thing that sequels tend to do, where you multiply the enemies for the hero. This time there's 3. You got your Catwoman, you got your Penguin, you got your Max Schreck. Not the guy that played Nosferatu, but he was a jerk in the movie nonetheless. I thought DeVito was a really good Penguin in this movie. As much as people remember Jack from the original as the Joker, I thought DeVito was spot on.
He was really good.
Yeah, exactly what you would expect from the Penguin. Michelle Pfeiffer looked good in the cat suit. That was about all I'll say for her. And this movie, to me, it felt more in the Tim Burton style than the original did. I don't necessarily love the Tim Burton style. As a sequel, I'm not sure that it's really that remarkable, but I think if you're able to kind of step away from the original and just kind of look at this as, you know, as a superhero action movie, I actually think it's kind of good. It's a lot better now than I think people thought about it then.
At the time, I liked the first one a lot more than this.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think either of them hold up. but I think they hold up about evenly. So it was like where the first one got worse over time, the second one didn't get worse over time.
It didn't erode.
So I feel like they're about even now. And this one popped up on my list a lot, but it's one of those that I led because, yeah, it's got a lot of Christmas imagery, but I don't feel like that added to this. Like, I don't think of it. I don't imagine it as a Christmas movie. Like,
I think of it every time I open presents. I hope that Ugg is in there.
Yeah, so this is one of those that it popped up on my radar, but I left it off because of that. My number five, though, very much takes place at Christmas time when three brothers decide to rob a small town bank on Christmas Eve because it won't be very busy. But then nothing goes according to plan in 1994's Trapped in Paradise. Nicolas Cage, Dana Carvey, John Lovitz. A nice little comedic pairing there for the brothers that do want to rob this bank, but then they end up overwhelmed by the charm of the town of paradise. And it's just really funny. John Lovitz in a supporting role has always been good. Nicolas Cage, it's always been something he's done well, is comedy. And even when he was, and before it became like, oh, Nicolas Cage doing comedy, now that means something different than it did in 94.
You get a version of Nicolas Cage.
Yes. Yeah. Nicolas Cage actually did really well, like Raising Arizona, like he had good comedies. And then Dana Carvey, not nuts on his character, but I do like some Dana Carvey. Just a fun movie. Gives you the feeling of Christmas. Gives you the feeling of, yeah, these aren't good guys, but it's nice. Like, the Christmas spirit causes them to not want to do bad things. And
it's like an adult version of the Grinch.
Kinda, yeah. It's got a lot of heart, and it's really funny, and it's just a cute movie that I really like, but I feel like doesn't get talked about ever. I think it kind of just got swept under the rug, and you don't really hear it talked about much, but that's Trapped in Paradise. That's my number, whatever number we're on.
That would be number five.
Yes, that's
you're lost
five.
Already, and we've just begun. I do like that movie a lot. I have no answer as to why it didn't make my list, because it probably should have. It is definitely one that you think of Christmas that is very germane to the plot, but it's also a really good movie. It's really underrated, so I'm glad you put it on at least. My number four is one of those ones that you would not have put on because it is not something that comes to mind when you think of Rambo, that it does take place kind of during Christmas. Merry Christmas, Rambo. 10 years after surviving Vietnam, Rambo goes to visit his old buddy from his unit in Washington right around the Christmas holiday, and it turns out that the guy died a couple months ago, months prior to that, from exposure to Agent Orange. Rambo doesn't have any friends or family to spend the holidays with, so he just goes to this random town, and he finds himself at odds with the local sheriff, played by Brian Dennehy. He wasn't naughty in the movie, but Santa Sly did in fact have a bag full of tricks for the small town police. Again, not a Christmas movie necessarily, but it does take place at or around Christmas, and I like it a lot. There you go.
See, that's what that didn't even pop up on my radar because I don't remember it being set around Christmas.
Well, it is.
My number four.
There you go.
Totally is, though. It's another movie, much like Trapped in Paradise, that I thought was really funny, also from 1994. I'm going to read you this cast and tell me if you know what movie this is, because it's criminally underrated to me. Steve Martin, Madeline Kahn, Robert Klein, Anthony LaPaglia, Juliette Lewis, Rob Reiner, Adam Sandler, Liev Schreiber, Rita Wilson, Parker Posey, John Stewart, and Jolie Fisher.
Nope, can't think of it.
That's a lot of funny people right there, starring in 1994's Mixed Nuts, written and directed by Nora Ephron. Big-time director, big-time cast, a bunch of coworkers at a crisis hotline around Christmas. Just a crazy night. One of those nights where nothing goes right for anybody, and they happen to work in the business of being there for people when things aren't going right. And just a very, very funny movie. And it's just, I tried to put it in my, I almost had it in the Thanksgiving episode because in my initial memory, I thought it took place around Thanksgiving, but it's not. It's around Christmas, and it's not a family get together. But it's just so many funny people, and Nora Ephron is she knows what she's doing. She can do, maybe it's not my type of humor usually, but I like Steve Martin, and I liked this Steve Martin, and I like Steve Martin as a movie star. He made a lot of good movies, and maybe especially in this, you know, 80s, 90s. And this one was just a lot of fun, and much like Trapped in Paradise, I think just kind of got forgotten over time.
So you've started your list with two comedies. I wouldn't say that I started with two action movies, but definitely my number three is a drama. It's from 2008, directed by Courtney Hunt, starring Melissa Leo, Misty Upham, and Charlie McDermott, Frozen River. Some Cratchit-level Christmas poverty in upstate New York in this one. Melissa Leo and Misty Upham are both single moms that are trying to either hang on to what limited family they have left or get their children back. And in order to do that, in order to better their lives and the lives of others, they become coyotes, bringing immigrants into the U.S. from Canada. I thought Melissa Leo is awesome in this movie. As you can tell, she's kind of frazzled at the end of her rope, and she kind of reminds me of like a bear, like really fiercely protective of her family, and will do pretty much anything to get the money to be able to afford the double wide trailer or something that she's trying to buy. Despite the good intentions of the two ladies, the movie does throughout most of it feel pretty hopeless for them and for their family, but it does kind of leave your heart and the corner of a trailer a bit warm at the end. It is this very much a movie about family, which is, I guess, what the Christmas season is all about, that and some baby godchild. But I think that one of the main reasons to watch the movie is for Melissa Leo. She's awesome in it, and a lot of times, I mean, I think people get the fact that she's a good actress, but for this movie in particular, she carries it.
Yeah, no, Melissa Leo is good at carrying almost anything, and she got an Oscar nomination for this, later won an Oscar for The Fighter, which she wasn't in all that much, but this movie is worth watching just for her performance. This is one of those that just, the lead is so compelling to just watch it for her.
Compelling, relatable. Really, it's a good movie. It's kind of a downer, I guess. But if you want to see somebody act, check out Frozen River.
Yeah. My number three, probably. We're going back all the way to 1974.
Whoa, this is old for you.
For me. From the director of one of the greatest Christmas movies ever, the director of A Christmas Story, Bob Clark, with Black Christmas. Slasher movie that kind of predates Halloween by about 4 years, but it's just Margot Kidder and her sorority sisters are basically stalked and hunted by a slasher around Christmas time. So it earns the movie the title Black Christmas. Very much Christmas setting. They made a remake of it a few years back that was dreadfully terrible. They took everything that was great about this movie and ignored it. From 1974, this is the kind of movies that were awesome back then because they were kind of
holiday themed slashers.
Yeah, this kicked it off. Like after this, like not only did it kind of kick off the slasher genre in a way, it doesn't get the credit for it, but Silent Night, Deadly Night, the other one that I'm thinking of, Don't Open Till Christmas.
I was not even thinking just holiday in Christmas holiday, but I mean everything, like
April Fool's Day,
Halloween,
Mother's Day.
Yes, everything.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
So Bob Clark has two amazing Christmas movies out there.
I guess we can argue on that. I don't like Christmas stories, so maybe just one. My number two came about in a pretty interesting way. I had immediately eliminated Die Hard because we've talked about it a lot. It is kind of that hipster choice for my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard. One of the best action movies of all time, hands down. And it does take place around Christmas. And that's featured in the story, I think. But I think for my number two, I think it's an apropos number two, because if it's not the greatest action movie of all time, it's got to be up there. It is Lethal Weapon from 1987, directed by Richard Donner, starring Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, and Gary Busey. Now tell me this isn't a Christmas movie. It starts with Jingle Bell Rock.
Just spoiler.
And the boob.
This is also my number two, so I'm gonna jump in on there. Lethal Weapon. It's very much Christmas-y. Like, I feel Christmassy. So it's one of the first ones that came to mind. The opening goes a long way for that. It's snowing in the room,
mm-hmm.
and it's got Jingle Bell Rock. So it's very much feels like Christmas in this movie.
And it's not just the only time. There's a quite. I talk about Batman, how there's like iconic scenes with Christmas trees. There's a rather iconic scene with a Christmas tree lot. And, you know, what trip to the Christmas tree lot to pick out your family's Christmas tree isn't complete without a coke buy gone terribly bad. I kind of feel like, you know, when douchebags like Dave and I list our favorite Christmas movies, you know, action movie called Die Hard always seems to get mentioned because it's awesome. But I think in true Movies on Up fashion, we're going to leave Die Hard off and at least replace it with something that, in a world where Die Hard doesn't exist, I like this movie a hell of a lot more.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, it's Christmassy. You have the suicidal lead character that his arc completes when he's happy with life. This loner is now spending Christmas dinner with a family. So it's like, yeah, you start off with Christmassy with this lonely woman that has to jump off a building, and then you
it
end
could very
with this
easily have been
yeah
Riggs.
You end with this suicidal guy enjoying a family dinner. So this very much feels Christmassy, and again, it was one of the first ones that come to mind. And Die Hard is always the go-to action Christmas movie, but this got to be right behind it. I mean, as much as I love Die Hard, this movie was. I don't like the sequels. Like, this is one of those that if we ever do a list of franchises where we only like the first one, Lethal Weapon's probably number one, because the first one, yeah, it had humor. It had the good relationship, but it was a brutal action movie.
Yeah.
Too. Busey was a terrifying villain, and they just morphed more towards the comedy as they went on.
It became like a buddy comedy instead of like an action movie that had comedic
comedy,
elements
yeah.
to it. But even the comedy, like we talked a couple weeks ago about how we like this charismatic Mel Gibson, and I think this is absolutely like the prototypical charismatic Mel Gibson role, because he is absolutely crazy. I mean, yeah, he's suicidal in that, you know, he's desperate, he doesn't have very much going for him, but the actions that he does, I talked about, you know, the scene where they're in buying coke, he really doesn't care if he gets killed at like 9 points during that whole shootout in that scene. Mel Gibson is very, very good in this movie. I think that, you know, this makes you a movie star. This set him up for the next 20 years until, it's probably even longer than that, until he became a ridiculous racist.
Yeah, no, this movie was, I love this movie, and we have next month we're doing a favorite buddy movie, and this is going to be hard to leave off, but we're gushing about it enough right now, we're going to need to. But
why do you think, like, as much as Die Hard comes to mind for Christmas movies, why don't people mention this? Like, you'd think it could be very easily in the same breath, but it never seems like I hear about it for Christmas.
The difference is, well, first, Die Hard is very Christmas. Like, Die Hard, he's there for Christmas with his family. It's a Christmas party. It's so much more centered around Christmas. Like, if you set that any other time through the year, it's a different story. Whereas Lethal Weapon, yes, it happens to take place at Christmas, but it's not super integral to the story. Which, that's interesting, though, that I want to bring up my other point, is that there are two other movies that popped up showing that they take place on Christmas, but I don't really remember the Christmas aspect to them. Also written by Shane Black, who wrote Lethal Weapon, because Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Last Boy Scout are apparently Christmas-timed movies, and Long Kiss Goodnight, now that I think about it.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, that sticks out as a Christmas movie because of Michelle Moynihan.
In the Santa outfit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
I recall that.
I remember that, and once I saw that, it's like, oh, I do remember that scene.
I remember it
but
well.
But yeah, so Shane Black has an affinity for Christmas action movies, so... But I don't know. It's hard to compare Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, because I feel like the Christmas setting was more critical to Die Hard than Lethal Weapon.
You might be right. I'm not trying to say which one is more of a non-Christmas Christmas or how, whatever you want to say. But I just feel like if you ask people, you know, what's your favorite Christmas movie that doesn't involve like Santa Claus or something, I feel like if you ask people for two, probably out of 100, maybe 80 people mentioned Die Hard. And I don't think nearly that amount would mention Lethal Weapon. And I can't understand why, because it starts with a boob. And snow and Christmas. What else? Those are like my two favorite things.
Yeah.
Not counting Christmas.
So you're number one.
Those are our dual number
twos. We doubled up our number two.
Yeah, we did. My number one is a number two. And I guess when compared to the original, kind of a number two. And if we ever did a list of movies where we only really like the original, I may have a tough time not putting 1989's Ghostbusters 2 on the list, directed by Ivan Reitman, starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Sigourney Weaver, Ernie Hudson, there's that man again, Rick Moranis. The movie absolutely does take place between Christmas and New Year's.
It's more of a New Year's Eve.
It is more
movie.
Of a New hands down more
I'll
of a New Year's
you,
Eve
though.
Movie. But it's a
I'll
week
let it
after.
Pass.
You said at or around Christmas. I figured a week later, perfect.
You just ruined our favorite New Year's Eve movies, though.
God damn it. Well, people won't remember. We record these things. We put a lot of effort into our lists, and we can't remember what the hell we said 4 weeks ago. I don't think the listeners will either. It's not like we record these things and they stay archived forever so that someone could go back and say, no, Ghostbusters is your favorite Christmas movie, not your favorite New Year's Eve movie. We're not doing that. I don't like it as much as the first one. That's not saying very much. I love the original Ghostbusters. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And if you've ever listened to, I don't know, three episodes of the podcast, you probably know that. But I do think there are some really funny moments in this movie. Some of the funniest one-liners that I can think of from Ghostbusters as a franchise actually come from this movie. At one point, Egon talks about wanting to run some tests on Dana after her kid is kind of haunted. He says, I'd like to run some gynecological tests on the mother. And without missing a beat, Bill Murray is like, who wouldn't? I love that. Didn't get it as a kid. Don't know what gynecological tests are. Now I get that. It means he wanted to stick some things some places. And what doesn't say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year more than a 17th century Carpathian magician warlord? As a kid, I love this movie. As a kid, I probably liked this movie more than Ghostbusters because it had slime, it had a giant Statue of Liberty being controlled by a Nintendo joystick. Everything was bigger about this. Had none of the subtlety, almost none of the subtlety as the original. But I can't talk about Ghostbusters. I'll talk about Ghostbusters 2. And I don't really like Christmas. I guess I like New Year's better anyway.
I don't hate on Ghostbusters 2 like a lot of people.
Like Bill Murray does.
Yeah, it's not Ghostbusters, but Ghostbusters was such a wonderful thing that it's hard to follow it up. And I thought it was, I mean, it did follow, like, we just complained about Lethal Weapon, how they upped the comedy and
yeah.
as they went on. And that's what they did with this, even though the first one was fantastic.
First one's probably funnier. This one's silly funny.
This one's silly funny. And they don't realize, like, oh, the first one, they were funny in not funny scenarios. Let's see how much funnier they'll be in funny scenarios. And then it just loses it and loses a lot. But, yeah, I like Ghostbusters 2 also, not as much as the first one. My first one, we've done 9 Christmas movies already and have not had Santa Claus in any movie until now. A little movie from 2010 where on Christmas Eve, during a dig, they discover Santa Claus. It is from Finland, rare exports, A Christmas Tale. They unearth Santa Claus, who's not happy to be there. Suddenly children in the town start disappearing, so this boy and his dad go and hunt down Santa Claus and capture him and want to sell him back, but there's all these angry elves that are pissed that their leader is gone. So basically it's a killer Santa Claus movie. Santa Claus is this rare beast that is killing people, and it's really good because it's a different take on the Santa Claus legend. It's a different take on a horror movie, but yet still finds its way back at the end to, oh, there's heart to it, and oh, there's a Christmas message to it, and oh, we need to not be jerks and enjoy Christmas for what it is. So it kind of runs the gamut of starting off as a horror movie and then ending as a feel-good Christmas movie, kind of?
The idea of the Santa Claus as a killer has been done a couple times. This, by far and away, is the best execution of it. I can recall Santa's Sleigh, starring Bill Goldberg of Atlanta Falcons fame, where it is Satan as Santa Claus and he's a killer. But it's not very good. Rare Exports is awesome. It's a really good horror movie. And then when you plug into the fact that it is a Christmas horror movie, it's absolutely the first movie that came to mind, but I just kind of had this feeling that it might make Dave's list somewhere. I was prepared to talk about it earlier if it didn't make his list, but since it did, I'm glad it does occupy your number one spot. It's very good. I feel like I did the hipster thing and left it off because...
It's one of those, like, Black Sheep that we've mentioned a lot. Black Sheep's a movie about killer sheep that you just expect to be terrible, and it's actually really, really good. This is a movie about killer Santa Claus that just that pitch line leads you to believe it's going to be terrible, but it's not. It's a good horror movie. It's a good father-son story, and it's a good Christmas story. Like, they do a good job of making all these things, and it's there's a lot more to it than you expect, and it came out really, really good.
And I do believe it's streaming on Netflix now. I cannot get behind people doing the, oh, I'm going to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas or I'm going to watch the Christmas Story. The hell with that noise. Start a new tradition with your family. Gather around the Christmas tree or the menorah, whatever holiday you celebrate, and watch Rare Exports because it's worth a watch.
Did you have any also-rans on this one?
Not really. I don't think there's anything I pulled off.
See, I listed a bunch, and then I kind of broke them down into categories. Like, Gremlins of Die Hard, I left off. We discussed
for
that.
Obvious reasons. Yeah.
Christmas Story, Ernest Saves Christmas, and Scrooged. I still like them enough as Christmas movies that they were at least on the radar here, but I left them off.
To me, those seem like maybe, again, it's just the way we do things. That seemed too on the nose.
Yeah.
Even Scrooged.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot. But, I mean... Like the Muppet Christmas Story.
Yeah.
I love Ernest. Those could have made the list, but they were actually Christmas movies, and I don't know.
The Ref absolutely would have made the list, but I think I've done it on two other list episodes previous to this. So I left The Ref off with Dennis Leary, even though I love that movie. P2 is another horror movie that was a lot better than I expected it to be. Christmas doesn't have a whole ton to do with the plot, but it is set... She's trying to get home.
I should have put that on my list.
P2?
Yeah, it would have worked better on my list because it's like, oh, yeah, I guess now that you mentioned it, it takes place at or around
that
Christmas.
That was kind of why I left. It's like, oh, it would have been the same movie any other day of the year. She's just trying to get home for Christmas, and that's kind of why the parking lot was empty. And then there were two that, In Bruges, I guess, takes place around Christmas time, which now that I think back of it, it does. But it doesn't. I don't think that's super key to the setting. And Children of Men is around Christmas time. But again, I don't think it's key to the setting. And then there's one because of our listener, Jason West, that I have to mention this movie that absolutely takes place around Christmas, The Family Man with Nicolas Cage. That's a Christmas movie that I don't necessarily love, but I have to give it some love because of listener Jason West.
Fair enough. Even if neither of us like it, we'll put it on the list. We may offer other suggestions of Nicolas Cage movies, but...
Like Trapped in Paradise.
Perhaps, but we'll at least mention it. So if you want to send us your favorite non-Christmas Christmas movies or Christmas that takes, you know, whatever the hell we were doing, you can send it to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can send us some movie ideas via Twitter, @moviesonup on the Twitter, or post them on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you'd like to hear more of my co-host, Dave, you can... unwrap his lovely voice in any of the following ways.
You can find me on Twitter @DaveBasella or DaveBasella.com, or I'm assuming that the Christmas episode of my other podcast, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, second annual Christmas explosion of happiness, joy, presents, happiness, and friendship. It's probably up by now. That's at ericanddave.com, Eric with a K. But I think that's about it.
If people are listening to this in 2014, which is possible, then that probably will be up.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Happy Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hanukkah's way, way over by now.
Yeah, that was Thanksgiving time.
Yeah, I'm not really sure when Kwanzaa is. I don't think most people are.
I don't know.
But if it's around now, happy Kwanzaa?
Yeah, but happy holidays is the,
that's
safe,
probably easier.
Is the easy way. But,
happy New Year's Eve.
Thanks for, yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode that was pre-recorded, but... happy holidays. We hope you enjoy it. We honestly thank everybody. Again, not to get sappy every holiday episode, but thank you for listening. And we're coming up on our first full calendar year of doing the show, which is really, really cool. And for anybody that's been with us from the beginning or at any point along the ride, we appreciate it and hope you and your loved ones have an awesome holiday season.
Keep it up.